Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today is serial killer, kind of spree killer, I guess, Matthew Hoffman, better known as the Tree Guy. This guy was fucked up. You guys read this story?
I did not.
Yeah.
I did. It's good stuff. It's nice to be surprised.
I like to be surprised.
It's nice to be surprised.
Because I always get to read the ending, so I like to see the if there's a happy ending.
Oh, you're going
to
love this.
We often have happy endings.
Yeah.
Only time I get a happy ending is when I get a massage.
Nope.
The Jade Spa.
That gives a bad name to the Jade Spa.
Hey, I'm going to give a shout out to Moo Moo at the Jade Spa.
Moo Moo. Wow.
All right, so this story was suggested by Denny McNamara, and I promised Denny that I would get this story up and posted in January. And what is the date, Colonel?
Today is January 30th, Timmy.
Yeah, I'm pushing it, but
Year of Our Lord 2017.
Yeah, so Denny, I'm a man of my word. All right, so before we get into the bizarre behavior of one Matthew J. Hoffman, I would like to introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, pill-popping, penis-loving, Brandy.
Hi, Timmy.
You forgot Satan's dirty little secret on there, Timmy.
Whatever.
Whatever. How are you today, Brandy? You're not here yet.
You know how they say that, you know, you when it rains, it pours, or God doesn't give you more than you can handle, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah,
this past week has been shit.
So God's been testing you.
God's testing me, and, you know, children are testing me, and, he's testing me. And I'm about done. I'm about done.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Is there anything you would like to share?
No. Family drama, but, you know, it all hits at once, and it's just, you know.
Yeah,
it's nice to come here. It's nice to come here and let loose a little bit.
I hear you, man. I was so yesterday was the longest fucking day. I have nothing to do. You know, Saturday I worked, so I came in and then
and you bitched about that.
I bitched about it, but it was good because I was keeping busy.
Why didn't you go see a movie?
I don't know. But anyway, it was cold and gray, and it was just. Anyway, yesterday, I get up and I take care of business. I go to the store. I do all the things I need to do. And I get back and I'm like, feeling okay, I'm accomplished a lot today. It's fucking 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And I'm like, what the hell am I going to do for the next 12 hours?
Well, you take a nap.
Yeah, I tried that. And it was like, I looked up. It's like 3 o'clock. And I'm like, you know, this weekend is never going to end. So I am so happy to be back at work. And with you, Brandy, I'm so happy.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
And I'm also happy to be with the third member of our panel.
When we say member, let's just call him Third Wheel. I mean, really.
The most dangerous man in podcasting today, the moral compass of the podcast.
The mortal compass?
Yeah, he's mortal. He's very mortal, man. He's counting the days.
I mean, he's a pecker hair from death.
Yes.
He really is. Yes.
What is wrong with you people?
You're not looking very healthy.
You know, my life's gone to shit. I just might as well just make you feel bad, too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of with you, Brandy. I don't know if it's like the weather or whatever, but I'm feeling it too, Randy. But I know you've got family drama, but I just got, you know,
Timmy drama. You got Timmy drama.
Just a normal garden variety Timmy drama.
Timmy drama.
Yeah. Let me introduce the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the moral compass of our podcast, the one and only, the very honorable Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard, Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm good today, Timmy. I was out, like you yesterday, I got out and I seen some snow, and the dog loves the snow, so I took him out for a long walk in the snow. Then I got home, and my wife had promised somebody we would babysit for them. Yeah, but my wife had a baby shower to go to yesterday.
Which is why she promised.
Yeah, so you were stuck with the kid?
Yeah, so I just watched a kid, and, you know, I think he was a little young to play Grand Theft Auto 5.
Probably.
How old was he?
10?
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little young.
No, that's not. You should be running
for Grand Theft Auto 5. No.
I love Grand Theft Auto, man. It's the only place in the world where you can beat up hookers and then steal their money and run over people. That's the way life should be.
I'm just kidding. Noah stumbled across Grand Theft Auto on YouTube. Mom, this game is so... What the fuck? No. No. Can I get this game? No.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
He's giving that lady a ride.
Yeah, the car is bouncing up and down.
Yeah, the car.
You know,
but it was so. Then later on, I took the dog back out for another walk.
Nice.
So me and the dog, but my damn Fitbit.
What about the 10-year-old?
My Fitbit. Well, he was gone by that time.
Okay.
Well, Renee had gotten home.
Okay.
But my Fitbit's not registered. It's registering the steps on my wrist, but not.
I don't know what it is.
I'm charging it right now.
Oh, it's not syncing right?
It's not syncing right.
Yeah,
I'm having
sometimes
that problem.
It does that.
I can't look at how well I sleep. I can't look at anything.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't even look at that sleep monitor anymore. I get so depressed because I'm wake up like 47 times during the night.
Yeah, but does it matter if you look at that or not? I mean, you're a hot mess anyway.
I know, but what I'm saying is it just
reinforces your hot mess.
And then I start focus on it. And I'm not sure it really captures it. I'm not sure how accurate.
Well, I get a call every couple of weeks from one of my boys, and Taylor tends to call me when he gets off work on Sunday night, which is at 11 o'clock his time. So he called me last night, which is midnight our time, Timmy. And we were on the phone till after 3 in the morning.
See, that's crazy talk. I don't want to talk to my kids that much.
Well, he's an interesting kid.
All right. Well, let's... Let's jump in the story, shall we?
May as well.
Before we do, Brandy, you have a special shout-out?
I do. George Rendon, very special shout-out to you. Thank you so much for listening. We really, really appreciate it.
And we also would like to thank our sponsors on Patreon. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to patreon.com/historydweebs. And you'll find out more information out there how you can support the podcast. We really appreciate your support. You can give a little, a lot, or...
Just a wee little tiny bit, Timmy.
Yeah, so please, if you can, help us out. Go to patreon.com/historydweebs. Let me give a shout out to those who support our podcast through Patreon. Alicia and Chip, thank you very much. Jen Moyer, Jason Dykes, thank you, Jason. Brandy McBride, thank you, Brandy. Diane Student from History Goes Bump podcast, thank you, Diane, for your support. Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahara, Andrew Happ, Brittany Irving Martin, thank you, Brittany. Joe Hopkins, thank you, Joe. Melissa Montoya, thank you very much. She's a new subscriber. Thank you, Melissa. Mandy Swanson, Jennifer Siemens, Bridget Clavey, Cindy Liu, who's been supporting us for a long time. Thank you, Cindy, for your continued support. Heather Poole, Charlie and Allie from the Insight Podcast, and Rudy the Wonder Dog. Thank you all for supporting us on Patreon. And like I said, if you would like to support us, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs. And you will learn, get some more information about that. Thank you. And we're going to jump into the story now and talk about Tree Man Matthew Hoffman. Matthew Hoffman is a strange character with a history of home invasions and murder, kind of like your history there, Brandy.
Yeah.
He killed two women and a boy back in 2010. After breaking into home and killing most of the occupants, he then kidnapped a 13-year-old girl and kept her as his sex slave in his house, in his basement. Ever since his childhood, Hoffman has surrounded himself with trees.
Hmm.
He liked trees. He's a tree guy.
Who doesn't like trees?
Who doesn't like a good tree?
Good oak?
He climbed in them. He played in them. He built tree houses. He worked with them in an adult as a tree trimmer.
Yeah, well.
So he had this whole, you know, obsession with trees and leaves.
Timmy, were you the one who put up the meme that wooden axe handles are the ultimate fuck you
trees?
Yes,
he did.
Yeah,
I like that one. I thought that was a pretty good one there, Timmy.
Thank you. But now you have to explain it because you've mentioned it and not everyone understands.
On our
Facebook
page, History Dweebs the Podcast, Timmy will put up memes or whatnot. And he put up one the other day that said, wooden axe handles are the ultimate fuck you to trees.
Kind of are.
It's like when I used to tell my kids, son, I will rip your damn arm off and beat you to death with it.
Yeah, I also put up, I'm so mad I'm beating one motherfucker with another motherfucker.
I love that one.
And the guy's got a...
The guy is flinging some other guy. When you get so mad, you beat a motherfucker with another motherfucker.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Hoffman, Matthew Hoffman. In the end, he would make trees accomplices to his transgressions.
Oh, that's
dastardly
shitty.
Deeds.
Dastardly deeds by burying bodies in hollow trees. So, dude loved trees. I mean, that's, you know, that's basically
what's not to love.
Right. So, Mount Vernon is a city in Knox County, Ohio. You ever been to Mount Vernon, Colonel?
I have indeed.
Yeah, it was named
after. Of course, he has.
It was named after the Mount Vernon, the home of
Thomas Jefferson,
George Washington.
Whatever.
Washington. That's Monticello.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, nobody else was answering.
I didn't know he was looking at me. I was.
What the hell else do you got going on?
You got something in that red cup over there, and I was trying to figure out what it is.
It's a shiny object, so he's
right.
I got distracted.
All right. So Mount Vernon, Ohio.
Didn't hit the buzzer in time.
Mount Vernon, Ohio, in 2010, had a population of 16,990. So it's a small town, Colonel.
Mm-hmm.
It was the birthplace of copper, or the copper industry. Yeah. So, you know, I guess they make, you know, copper there.
Yeah. Well, sure.
So it's, you know, it's a manufacturing town, basically. Besides a couple of factories there's a couple of small colleges, but no, not a whole lot to do in Mount Vernon. You think that's a fair assessment of Mount Vernon?
I'd say that's a pretty accurate assessment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe they might have an outlet mall there, Timmy.
Yeah. It's in central Ohio. For those of you who are familiar with the Ohio Valley, there's very little crime that occurs there. Homicides are extremely rare. But that all changed in the fall of 2010 when Matthew J. Hoffman broke into the home of 32-year-old Tina Herman. Any relation, Brandy?
I have no idea. I would be surprised.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same spelling.
Yeah, that's my husband's...
Well, I know.
Crazy ass family, so okay. I haven't heard anything about that.
Does he have family in Mount Vernon?
I have no idea.
Okay. Good thing you know your husband well.
Yeah.
You should not
I know my husband.
You should not be on the Newlywed Game. You would not do well.
I know my husband.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, that part of the family we're not that familiar with.
I got you.
That would be in the butt, Bob.
Yeah, I remember that answer. I've seen that.
What's the strangest place you've ever had sex?
In the butt.
That will be in the butt, Bob.
That was on.
Love it.
Newlywed Game.
Yeah.
It's not that strange.
Well, they meant like the grocery
store. I understand.
That'll be in the butt, Bob. The wife.
No, I think they always say make whoopee on that show.
Yeah.
It wasn't ever.
They do always say make whoopee.
Yeah.
Whatever.
When's the last time you used that term?
Today.
1973.
Today might be the first and last day.
The girls podcast, Diane's.
Oh, just between
Between Us Girls.
Between Us Girls. I'm sorry, Diane.
And
between
the guy, they were interviewing was talking about making sweet love.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That's what the Colonel does. That devil.
Gross.
Make sweet love.
There, that's when they was talking about relationships.
You might already make me sweet vomit.
Hmm?
You might already make me sweet vomit.
When Dave was courting you, wooing you.
Yeah.
And you were making whoopee.
Yeah.
Did you make whoopee or sweet love?
Gross.
Was it the relationship dick that kind of pulled you in?
Please.
Okay.
Did you owe Dave money?
Dave had a job
and a
car.
Mechanic? Was
Dave had a job and a car, which was way more than way better than I'd been doing.
Yeah,
and he could use tools.
And he didn't have
a rap sheet.
Didn't have a device on his ankle or
no. Ooh. So I mean, I moved up.
Winning.
Yeah, it was.
All right.
Winning.
So how did you meet?
We met online.
Like Match or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No kidding. You really did.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I knew that.
I thought, like, Backpage?
No.
Craigslist?
No. None of those. It was not as prevalent back then.
Yeah, now it's kind of accepted. Remember back when you started, you used to say you meet people online, it was like, you know.
That
frowned upon.
Well, because, you know, everybody thought you were like a troll that didn't
Or go, you're, like, really desperate or
something. Yeah, or you're weird or whatever, but, you know, I worked a lot, and a lot of my girlfriends had met, you know, people that they had ended up marrying online, and
I'm not casting stones, believe me.
I mean, I worked a ton. What?
You didn't have time to go out to bars because you was working in the bars.
I wasn't working in the bars.
As opposed to now, when she doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Back when you
whatever
was doing the brandy with an eye and
swinging on a
working
pole.
No.
Well, we're glad that you met Dave. Dave is a very, very nice guy. He's very lucky.
He is a nice guy.
He is lucky. Mm-hmm.
You're lucky to have him. He's a good guy.
You are lucky to have him.
Don't end up with Lanny.
If you don't change your damn devil ways, you're going to end up with Lanny.
Leave Lanny alone.
One arm.
Greasy-haired, red-headed Lanny.
No teeth.
Acne.
Working
Annie.
Part-time at AutoZone.
Pep Boys,
yeah. Living in a van
down by the river. Down by the river.
All right, back to Matthew Hoffman. Denny's going to get mad at us. Denny wants his story, so we're going to bring it to him.
Damn it. We're going to bring it to him.
Yes.
Denny's always mad. Denny's from Norwood. Those people are angry.
He had a black eye, dude.
I know. That's
someone popped him. Denny, man, I hope
because he lives in Norwood.
I hope he came. I mean, I hope the other guy looked worse. But anyway, a whole lot of background on Mr. Hoffman. So, you know, as I usually give you their long, sordid history of how he grew up and all that, not a whole bunch of him about him online. But what we do know is that he was born on November 1st, 1980, in Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Steamboat Springs.
Sounds like a lovely place.
Chuck, have you ever been to Steamboat Springs?
I have been to Steamboat Springs.
No shit.
What did you do there? What was it like?
Tell us everything.
Well, they got a really nice taffy factory in Steamboat Springs.
Are you just making this shit up?
Big candy store in Steamboat Springs.
Fuck yeah, he's making this up.
I've been all over Ohio. What are you talking about?
Talking about Colorado.
This is Colorado.
Oh, I thought you meant Steamboat Springs, Ohio.
There's no such place.
You don't know that.
I do know that. There's
no such Springfield. There's a Steamboat Springs in every town, every state.
You know what? Because if there was a Steamboat Springs in Ohio, I probably would have gone to school there.
Don't ask me questions when I ain't paying attention, goddammit.
Well, try
to keep up, will you?
You got in trouble.
Anyway.
I got called.
Neighbors.
I got called telling an alternative fact.
Yeah, you did.
Neighbors would describe Matthew's behavior as erratic and strange.
If he had money, he'd be eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I guess he didn't. So,
he's just a weirdo.
I wonder what your neighbors say about you, Timmy.
You know, dude, I do not talk.
Nice guy, but it kind of a loner.
With his mail stuck in the mailbox.
He was just getting his life back together, too.
He was going to school. He was starting to see his kids
starting
again.
Starting to see his kids. Oh. It was amazing.
Anyway. According to one of his neighbors, Matthew would often kill squirrels and eat them.
Sure.
What else isn't that, you know, isn't that like eating rodent? Isn't a squirrel like kind of a rodent?
Tastes like rabbit.
It's pretty close to eating a rat.
Yeah, I think so. I don't get it. Mm-mm. There's a Kroger. Not that
Colonel
far.
Had a little run-in with squirrels, didn't you, Colonel? No, that was raccoons.
Those are raccoons.
I got squirrels that will come up in the summertime. I got two squirrels. Colonel sit on his deck, eat peanuts. They won't eat them.
You love
my
it when
hand,
he talks about himself in the third person.
But I
know. The problem is his squirrels are named Tanner and Taylor.
No, I laid a little peanut about 2 foot from myself, foot or so away from me, and a little squirrel will walk right up, just
wait
eat
a minute.
The peanut.
Can you imagine? He put a peanut out, and a squirrel came up and got it. You get the fuck out of here with that crazy story.
It's right next. I mean, he comes right up next to me.
That is some
me.
Crazy goddamn shit right
it's
there.
It's the cutest damn thing you ever seen.
They're
Colonel
likes
wildlife.
They're filthy creatures.
All right.
Not squirrels.
All right.
Yes.
Back to Matthew. Kind of control yourself.
You got
well,
the hand.
Well, don't sully the name of
you
squirrels.
You got the hand.
Yeah, what is with you?
You,
did. You know, your tyrannical behavior is becoming overbearing, Tammy.
Well, look, I've got...
He called you Tammy, too.
Tammy.
I wouldn't put up with,
Tammy.
I wouldn't put up with that shit.
It's okay. He doesn't know any better. It's kind of like, you know, picking on your retarded cousin. You just kind of pat him on the head, say, okay.
Now, right. We just lost 20 listeners. You can't say the R word, Timmy.
Okay.
You can't say
sorry
the Colonel's going full R.
All right. Back
I
to
like
Matthew.
I like squirrels.
All right. Well, so did Matthew because he liked eating them. He often would also trap small animals in his yard. Did you ever set a trap, like with a box and a stick
mm-hmm.
and a string?
I did that for a rabbit one time.
Yeah, I did that for women.
I did.
Other than say...
when I did it for my kids.
When his home was searched after he was arrested, it turned out that he had an obsession with leaves. We'll get into kept huge piles of leaves in his house. In 2001, at the age of 21, he was convicted of theft... breaking and entering, and first-degree arson after he set a condominium on fire in Springboat Springs, Colorado, a place that the colonel has never
Steamboat
been to.
Steamboat Springs again?
Yeah.
Okay.
After he had done some, he had broken, he was doing some breaking and entering, and then he tried to set a place a fire. He was sentenced to 8 years in prison, and he was released from prison few years later. He didn't serve the whole time, and he just randomly selected Mount Vernon as his new hometown.
Aren't they lucky?
Yeah, they really were. It's like he threw a dart against the map or something.
Right.
He worked sporadically as a tree trimmer. He had a live-in girlfriend for a while, but she finally left due to his odd behaviors. Mm. Brandy's going to tell you what happens next.
So on November 10th of 2010, he randomly again selects the Apple Valley, Ohio house of Tina Herman because it was more secluded and the garage door was always left slightly open.
Never
so
leave your garage door slightly
open. Wait a minute. So evidently we skipped a whole chunk of stuff here, but evidently he moves to Mount Vernon and like starts stalking people.
Yeah,
because he's a tree trimmer, right?
Right.
He's a tree trimmer, and so when he goes around these neighborhoods, he scopes out the houses.
Yes. Remember, his girlfriend just left him.
Right.
Because he's odd.
He's eating
squirrels. And he's had a history of breaking and entering. So
all right. So he sees this house with the garage door that's a little bit open, and he waits. He bides his time, sleeps in the woods next to the trees because he's a freak show.
He's a nature lover. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. And finally, he snuck into the house after the residents left, remained inside for about an hour, until Tina and their neighbor Stephanie Sprang unexpectedly came back to the house.
Yeah, and this is his, a lot of this is his version of the story. Like he says he was just going there to rob it and leave.
Right. But he's hanging out for an hour.
Yeah, you're hanging, if you're in there watching SportsCenter.
Right, in your underwear. Right. You planned on setting there
eating
for a
while. Eating Cheetos and scratching your balls.
Now, you know, I got a peculiar habit because the one place I feel the most vulnerable
really?
Is the shower.
Okay.
And listen, as you can weigh in on this, I don't know how many of you have armed yourselves. But
In the shower?
When I'm at home alone, I take a gun into the shower with me, Timmy.
Okay.
Because that's when you're the most... Man, haven't you ever seen Psycho? Somebody come at me through the shower curtain with a big-ass knife?
I know, man, but I saw a John Wayne movie, Big Jake, where the guy was going to shoot him in the shower stall. And he didn't realize that he had a shotgun in the shower. And he like blows the door off and blows his guy away.
Yeah, see, that could happen. I mean, that's
fascinating.
It's just a weird thing. If I'm at home alone.
Would you agree, Brandy?
It's so weird.
I mean, I don't take it in the shower with me. I leave it right on the
Well, then what the fuck good does it do?
Because I can reach it. I can just reach out the shower
and
grab it.
Well, yeah, but so can, you know, Anthony Perkins. So can Anthony Perkins when he comes in to stab you.
Because I got Rudy barking.
Whatever.
You can't hear it because the water's on.
There's nothing worse than... See, Rudy got two kinds of barks.
Look, Yosemite Sam, Rudy, you need to simmer down over there.
No,
I'm
just telling
you.
Rudy got two kinds of barks. He got the bark like, oh, look at this squirrel in the yard. If I was out there, I'd be messing you up so bad. And then he got another bark that is, Dad, get your gun, follow me. And occasionally I'll be in the shower and Rudy will be giving out one of those Dad, get your gun barks. And I'm in the shower and I'm naked. And the only thing I can do is come out and wrestle him sumo style. And I don't want to do that. So I carry a firearm and I put it on the top of the shampoo.
I really don't think that you would be wrestling them sumo style.
No, they even have little diapers. You'd just be out there hitting somebody with your pecker.
They would not like it. They would not like it. I would slap them right upside the head with the tallywhacker.
I don't think
I'd give them a tallywhacker beatdown.
I don't think so. But anywho.
There's some women that like that.
So these girls came home.
Not be beaten. I'm just saying they like a little attention with the tallywhacker. Tallywhacker attention.
Tallywhacker
not to
the
be
forehead.
Beaten.
You ever had a tallywhacker hit you in the forehead, devil?
So Hoffman was surprised and killed them both by stabbing, and this is blunt force trauma, but I'm going to go ahead and guess that it was blunt force trauma.
You're probably right.
To their heads.
You know, if we could get a typing monkey.
Seriously. Hoffman then attacked Tina's two children, 13-year-old Sarah and 11-year-old Cody, when they stumbled upon the scene. He also killed the dog that was at the house because it barked loudly.
See, why kill the dog?
Because it was barking loudly.
Wow.
It's still a dick move.
He was doing the grab your damn gun and get out of here bark.
Well, it was too little too late, fucking wasn't it? He later claimed he hadn't planned to kill anyone, but had brought the knife and blackjack for
self-defense purposes.
Intimidation. Yeah. Hoffman then held Sarah captive. So he attacked them, but he didn't kill them. So he's got 13-year-old Sarah captive. He takes her and the bodies of her mother and younger brother to his Mount Vernon home.
Yeah, important to point out here, he takes her first, the little girl.
Right.
So she doesn't know.
I know, because that's what the next sentence says.
Just wanted to make that clear.
Well, you would have in the next sentence.
All right. I write a lot of stuff. I write a lot of scripts, so I don't know where I'm at most of the time.
Hoffman then... held Sarah captive, took her in a body smount, tying Sarah to a bed of leaves in the basement. The 13-year-old, not knowing that her mother, brother, and neighbor are already dead, in case you didn't catch that part.
Thank you.
Next, he dismembered the bodies of his fatal victims, taking and disposing of the parts the next day into a hollow 60-foot tree in the, is it Kosking Wildlife Area?
See, isn't that fucked up?
Kosking.
I mean, you never find the bodies there.
Using his tree climbing equipment. So he climbed up and dumped them down there. The same day, he was approached by deputies as he sat in the same parking lot where Tina Herman's pickup was discovered. This guy's itching to be caught. It's fucking ridiculous.
Going back to the scene of the crime.
However, Hoffman was let go when he claimed that he had a girlfriend and was waiting for her to get off work. For 4 days straight, he kept Sarah tied to the bed and sexually assaulted her repeatedly. Gross.
Ugh. Yeah, it is.
Investigating authorities eventually classified Hoffman as a suspect of the Herman home invasion and abductions, raiding his home on November 14th as he slept on his couch. He was arrested and Sarah was safely recovered from the basement. Two police officers from Mount Vernon, Ohio, who first entered Hoffman's home in November of 2010, discovered mounds of leaves so high they feared that bodies could be buried underneath them.
Yeah, I mean, it was like all over the floor. They were stacked up. I mean, they were everywhere. I'll post pictures of it.
You know what? Take a leaf blower in that place and, you know, drive that shit out.
Yeah, that would have been a good idea.
So much runs through your mind. What if somebody's hiding under that pile? Or in this case, I thought, is this where he's hiding the bodies? That's what Mount Vernon Police Detective Craig Feeney told the Columbus Dispatch. The living room floor was covered with leaves. They go down in the basement and they find the 13-year-old girl. She was dressed in a trash bag diaper.
Yeah.
On a bed of leaves, on a makeshift bed of leaves. Hoffman, an unemployed tree trimmer, confessed to investigators that he had made the bed of leaves and covered it with blankets. He told investigators that the little girl liked that bed. It was extremely comfy, and I wanted to sleep on it. Gross.
Yeah. Apparently, what's
the diaper for? If she on some leaves.
Well, you don't want to be gross. You don't shit where you sleep.
There's soil in the leaves. But a garbage bag diaper, that ain't going to do nothing for you.
You don't shit where you sleep.
Apparently, he would sleep with her each night, too.
Ugh.
And, like, spoon with her.
I'm sure she appreciated that. While holding the girl hostage, he gave his victim the book Treasure Island to read and watch the movie Iron Man with her, according to his confession. He also admitted to raping the girl, who was found by police.
That's poor girl.
Moments after her rescue, the girl told police that she was late for school and asked if they could take her to school.
Yeah, the poor little girl. I've seen her interview. She's a little older now. But yeah. What a traumatic experience.
Unaware that Hoffman had murdered her mother and brother, the girl told police that she feared Hoffman had killed her dog. Hoffman would later confess to killing the dog because it wouldn't stop barking, which is pretty much what I'm going to do to the two of you if you don't stop barking. So the girl told police that the suspect had cut her finger with a knife, usually gagged her, and that he was going to release her before Christmas. Knox County Prosecutor John Thatcher said that hundreds of bags of leaves were found in the house and they were not connected to the murder. Gross. But the pile of leaves was just the beginning of what awaited them in the Hoffman house. The detectives found 3 floor-to-ceiling rows of bagged leaves hanging on the living room wall. They found a bathroom completely insulated by more than 110 bags of leaves attached to the walls. The bags covered the mirror. They surrounded the toilet. Knox County had never seen a case like this before. It has to rank there in Ohio history as one of the worst homicide cases, Thatcher said. Forensic psychologists said that Hoffman's obsession with leaves and trees were indications of mental illness and delusion.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, these people went to school
for this. Okay, Freud. Thank you for figuring that out for us.
Well, good job.
There's an alternate theory, though.
Yeah, I don't give a damn.
Leaves I could see. I mean, that's actually kind of ingenious that you'd use them for insulation.
No, they're covered with bugs and outside.
Well, if you're putting them between your walls.
No.
Not to mention the allergies.
They're not between the
walls.
And
if you're naked and afraid.
Well, yeah, but they're not
between
the walls.
They'd make a good sleeping bag.
Now, picture this.
Or you could put it over your genitalia.
I couldn't find a leaf big
enough. Look, here's the thing. Imagine this. You take a Kroger bag, one of those Kroger plastic bags, you fill it full of leaves, maple leaves, okay? Just fill it full of leaves, and then you take it and you staple it to the wall.
Soundproofing.
Okay, but it's not between the walls. It's on the wall. So there's no reason for this, except that you're a crazy motherfucker. That's your reasoning.
And it's and he had them in bags. I mean, in these plastic bags. It's
yeah, I mean, he was trying to be tidy, but it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So if trees gave him comfort at all and were familiar at all, that would explain why he put the bodies in a tree. Said Dr. Now, write this down because this man's a trailblazer. Dr. James Allen Fox of Northeastern University, who has written five books about serial killers.
Let's don't disparage
his just
good
seemed
name.
Like a lot of work to carry up somebody up into a tree and...
Well, he was a tree. He was a tree climber.
Maybe he was making sacrifices to the tree gods.
Yeah, psychologists.
It's pretty ingenious, though. If you want to hide a body, you put it in a tree.
Well, no, it's going to rot away and then fall
eventually.
On somebody.
But I mean,
psychologists call the obsession with leaves bizarre and unique from other convicted murderers. Let's see. It certainly suggests that he is likely to be mentally ill.
It would suggest that.
Mentally ill as compared to other killers who show up in the news like serial killers or psychopaths. Dr. N.G. Burrill, director of New York Center for Neuropsychology and Forensic Behavioral Science. Jesus God, these guys are just making just these huge stretches.
Yeah. I don't like it. It seems like they're just making up.
They're just making up words.
They're just saying things.
Yeah. Serial killers, from a professional point of view, they are not mentally ill. They have character disturbances, but they know what they're doing is wrong. They take too much pleasure, too much gratification to stop. Burrell said that only Hoffman could explain why he appeared to stockpile leaves. Maybe he got a hard-on for Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mother Nature can be hot, Colonel.
Mother Nature can be hot. Mother Nature can be cold, Timmy.
Yep.
Right now, she's kind of a frigid bitch. I'm not real happy with what's going on out there.
Oh, she is. Yeah.
It's getting up to 45 degrees tomorrow.
I know. I can't wait.
It would be like, wait a minute. It would take talking to him to find out what it means. Uh-huh. Burrell said.
Right. Oh, come on. He's making, you know, they're asking this doctor for his opinion, and the doctor said he's whacked. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, they could have asked me that, and I'd have told them the same friggin' thing.
Yeah, they.
And then, but then my favorite. Well, you got to talk to him to find out what his deal is. Well, no shit. Hoffman's delusions are very elaborate.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Delusions related to trees, what trees produce, being in and around trees, putting people in trees. He's got a tree thing.
He's got a thing for trees.
I wonder if he sticks his pecker in a knot hole.
Now, just in just because you, and I'm sure when you was in school, you took basic psychology
yeah.
for your degree. Did you sleep with that professor?
No.
Okay. Just curious. Okay, carry on.
Dr. Sigmund.
Really? Because that was your fucking question? Jesus.
Well,
economics is a little bit tougher.
Yeah. So Hoffman.
Imagine what she did for physics.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, you was a dirty, dirty
Hoffman
girl.
Was an unemployed Hoffman was an unemployed tree cutter.
Shame on you. What did you disgusting.
Do? Oh, you vile beast.
Well, you know, let's ask this guy, one of these shrinks, what they think about me. Let's see. Anyway.
Let's not disparage their good name. These are real people, and these guys are, you know, they're just asking
their opinion. Real people.
They could get lawyers.
Yes, that's my point.
All right, get my lawyer. All right, so Hoffman, for all of his obsession with trees, and he's an unemployed tree cutter, he only has two trees near his house.
Well, the
trees.
Treos.
Whatever.
I don't think that's the word.
No, it's three. But anyway. Well, maybe he's, you know, cut them all down, or he's...
He couldn't have possibly got that many leaves from that tree, so he had to haul leaves from somewhere. I never saw him raking. That's what Miss Jeanette Columber said. That was his neighbor.
All right.
Yeah. Kept to himself, quiet guy. Never saw him raking the leaves. Investigators speculate that leaves may have served another purpose.
See, now we get to the alternate theory here.
Hoffman likely knew he couldn't stay in his home forever with what he'd done. Already a convicted arsonist. Did we talk about that?
Yeah.
Maybe the leaves were going to be used as an accelerant for him to burn down the house with his captives inside.
Ooh, that would suck.
Yeah.
It would suck.
By the way.
But I don't think so.
Arbol, Timmy.
What?
Arbol.
He looked up the word
that's
tree.
That's Spanish for tree.
Thank you.
Right. Arbol.
Gracias.
Oddball?
Arbol. Arbol.
Gracias. Continue, Brandy.
It's nada.
Let's see. Receipts that investigators found inside Hoffman's home show...
How long do you think this would take us to do a podcast in Spanish?
We should do one in Latin, because I know Latin.
It takes us 2 hours to do one in English.
Sad. Receipts that investigators found inside Hoffman's home show he bought a pair of short grip gloves, most likely the same gloves he left bloodied in the bathroom sink at Herman's house at a local Lowe's on November 4th.
Yeah, it wasn't very well planned out.
Police also found duct tape. Sounds to me like it was planned out just fine.
No. I mean, he didn't cover his...
No.
Tracks,
police also found duct tape and another pair of gloves Hoffman had purchased on November 8th. He had ordered a knife online and took it to the house with him, even though he said he was just going to rob the place. He's a lying bastard. There were plenty more discoveries, according to detectives' notes, reports, and photographs in the complete case file, which the Knox County Prosecutor's Office released in response to a public's records request. Here we go. The freezer in the kitchen... held two unskinned squirrels, red popsicles, and little else.
And I like red popsicles. I'm okay with red popsicles.
I wonder if he had squirrel popsicles.
I wonder if they were sugar-free.
Here's the thing.
The sugar-free. I don't, you know, there's no sense raising
that. Here's the thing.
No, it's not. Yeah. Timmy, I like sugar-free pudding.
When we were discussing this earlier, what's the point?
I like the texture of it. It's much thicker and chunkier.
I eat sugar-free pudding.
When Timmy and I were discussing this earlier, and it may show it a little bit later, but he didn't like to go to the store.
Yeah.
So he didn't go to the store, so he would go find these squirrels that were running up and down the two trees in his yard and kill them and eat them. Where did the popsicles come from? Was motherfucker ordering them on Amazon and having them delivered? What the fuck?
And if you're going to pick up some popsicles, why not pick up some loaf of bread or something?
While you're there, get some peanut butter.
Did he milk those squirrels?
I don't think he milked the squirrels. I mean, they have nipples.
They do got nipples. So, I mean...
You can milk anything with nipples.
If it's got nipples, you can milk it.
I've heard that somewhere.
I've got nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
Milk me? Some walls and door jams were covered with doodles, the kind a teenage girl would perhaps scratch on a notebook cover. A giant peace sign on the door, stars on the wall, and random names written in marker. The leaf-filled bathroom had black doodles.
Now, without talking to him, I'm going to say he had some mental health issues. Without talking to him.
That's a leap.
You're
going to
go out on a limb?
Nice.
How do you say that in Spanish?
Limbe?
Nope. You don't. Nope. I can already tell you that is not
that's
it.
Big Latin.
Yeah. No, that is Chuck Latin. All right. So... So he's doodling. He's a doodler.
He's a doodler.
Let's see.
Nothing wrong with doodling.
The leaf-filled
bathroom. It's nothing really wrong with having bread popsicles and squirrels in your...
just don't kill anybody or rape people. Exactly. I mean, yeah, you know, come on.
It's having the squirrel popsicles that was disturbing.
Well, they were unskinned,
too. You take a little branch, shove them up the ass.
That fur is going to stick to that icebox.
Just saying. Can you cleaning that icebox?
No.
Refrigerator?
Ugh. No, you just burn that refrigerator. Set that shit on fire. The leaf-filled bathroom with black doodles scrawled on the white tub, including a jack-o'-lantern. Records show that before the murders, Hoffman's life was a mess. Get the fuck out of town.
I don't think he got much better after the murders.
Yeah, I don't know why that's
not like he's probably eating a little bit better in the penitentiary and everything.
He ain't in one of Tony Robbins' success stories now.
He had no job.
But I doubt if the high state penitentiary's feeding you squirrels.
Yeah, true.
And I'm probably not getting popsicles, though.
Well, you probably can't. Let's see. He had no job, and he was collecting unemployment. His car was being repossessed. His girlfriend had told police that he choked her on October 24th, and so she and her young son moved out. So, and she probably didn't need the leaves all over the place. Like, that was probably weirding her out.
Her kid was probably getting sick of squirrel, I imagine.
I imagine, day after day, that's old. It's probably what he had the red popsicles for.
Yeah, for the kid?
Yep.
Probably so.
Neighbor Henderson Butcher.
Mommy, we having squirrel again?
Damn it. Henderson Butcher, squirrel soup, squirrel.
Of a 1 million squirrels served.
Squirrel stew, right. Squirrel soup.
Peanut butter and squirrel.
That's about all you can do with squirrel.
Let's see. Henderson Butcher, you put it in the ground and roast it up.
A lot of, I will tell you this, my stepdaddy from Tennessee.
Put it in an air fryer.
And, the one that had the consumption?
Yeah, and he would go out hunting, and he'd bring back these squirrels, and he'd shoot them with a damn shotgun.
Yeah.
So you got to stick, and you got to clean all the damn pellets out of the squirrel. Then you got to skin the squirrel. Then you do all this work, guts of squirrel.
And there's no meat on a squirrel.
Yeah, it's like a squirrel sandwich.
3 ounces of meat.
Yeah, you get like a squirrel sandwich.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it does taste like chicken.
I would not
or
eat
not
it.
Like chicken, but like rabbit.
It's like eating, well, that's
not
thing.
Helpful.
I wouldn't eat rabbit either.
No. Let's
it's like
see.
Eating a rat.
Let's see. If there had been any evidence of a family in the home, she took it with her. Henderson Butcher described his interactions with Hoffman as friendly. Henderson was a neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good old Henderson.
Seemed to like to rake leaves.
Nobody ever saw him do it.
Mm-hmm. Here's
he likes squirrels.
Thing. He used to play around the trees around there a lot.
This is a grown man.
Threw ropes in trees. And had like a hammock on there.
Uh-huh.
And occasionally toss a body up in the tree.
Yeah, you know, but we didn't mind. He was quiet. He kept to himself. Other people said Henderson would shoot squirrels to eat. He was killing the squirrels because he doesn't grocery shop, neighbor Kara Fowler said. He would actually kill the squirrels and eat them. Just as Hoffman didn't have anything to say the morning of his arrest, his attitude didn't change much when authorities got their first crack at questioning him.
Have you ever guys ever seen that, the reality show about the wild people living in Alaska?
Alaskan bush people?
Yeah.
Alaskan bush people?
Yeah. You know what?
Those people are weird.
You know what? Let me tell you something. This is what, I just had this conversation today with somebody downstairs. And it's, you know, it's 2017. Life is hard enough.
Without
you know,
taking a phone booth and transporting it from Nome or somewhere.
I'm 3 hours away from a hospital and I can only reach the grocery by chopper. What the fuck? Yeah. Life is hard enough.
How do you get your Xanax refill?
This is all I'm saying.
I know. The guy looks like he's about ready to die. He's got like high blood pressure in our
country. But I mean, all these people that live off the grid, I mean, I get paring down. I get a simpler life. You get rid of your, you know,
you don't get tiny houses.
No, I don't get tiny houses. I didn't say a smaller life. I said a simpler life. You want to have a garden, have a garden. You want to, but go to the goddamn store and get you some mayonnaise and some Wonder Bread. Because life is hard enough without you making it worse.
And a squirrel sandwich ain't nothing without no cheese and no
mayonnaise. Not Miracle Whip, though, because that shit's nasty.
Mm. And there's no, I mean, I feel bad for the kid. I mean, they have like no social, you know, there's like no.
They're feral, goddammit. They're feral children.
Well, they are feral because all they know is work.
I know. It just seems like it's.
It's sad.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It's awful. And they, you know, go into like a, you know, a grocery store. you know, mouth hanging open. Oh my God, you can get Oreos. Yeah, motherfucker, you can get Oreos.
There's no lie. There's no lie. My stepdaddy, when he came up here because he had the consumption, he had never seen a loaf of bread for sale.
Really?
Yeah, he had never seen a loaf of bread in plastic wrappers for sale. He thought that was the weirdest.
When was that?
Betty White is older than sliced
bread.
Well,
he's 84, and he came up here when he was 18, 17. So you go back 67 years, which would make it, what, 1950 when he came up here?
All right.
A lot of math.
He had never seen a black person before. Well, he was so deep down in the holler that he had never seen.
He probably ate squirrels.
Hmm?
He probably ate squirrels.
Oh, he ate the shit out of squirrels. They ate.
Life is hard enough.
They ate squirrels. They ate whatever they ran across. They run across.
Yeah,
the
but that was 1950.
Bear.
Did they milk? Did they have cows to milk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They milk squirrels.
His daddy was a pastor and a moonshiner.
Oh, well, there you go. Let's see. His attitude didn't change much with authorities. Got to question him. The release documents show that police taped hours of conversations with Hoffman saying very little. Then they're not really conversations. They're just somebody talking.
The monologues.
Yeah. In the videos of the first marathon interview session at the Knox County Sheriff's Office, Hoffman sat slumped over, ignoring the questions of tired detectives. Then after about 15 minutes, he raised his cuffed hands and thumped his chest with a fist. He motioned as if breaking something. Yeah, so now this has turned into a fucking game of charades.
Yeah. He's a mime.
Yeah, exactly.
Three syllables.
Right.
Let's see what you got here. Three syllables.
He's going to do trapped in a box. Yeah. Jackass.
Man walking against the wind.
Right. Heartbroken, Detective Sergeant Roger Brown asked him because of what happened. Hoffman shook his head no. Someone broke your heart, Brown asked again, because, you know, he didn't understand it the first fucking
time. Why didn't they just beat the shit out of him until he talked?
With a phone book or something. I know, dude.
You know, these hippies... Hippies. That's why I don't like hippies with all these civil rights.
He's not
rights
a hippie.
The hippie policeman. He should have taken a rubber hose and started beating him until he started. You know, and Tana just told this story to a kid the other day.
Ugh.
The kid was talking about having problems when she was younger, and she said that when she was younger, she had selective mutism. And I guess that's when you just.
I do too. Bounds. I don't want to talk to you, motherfuckers.
And that's do you know what Tana told her?
What?
He said, yeah, I don't think that will fly with my dad, selective mutism. He said, because he would give us a selective foot in our ass.
Fascinating, Chuck.
Continue, Brandy.
Thank you. So 4 hours later, he says nothing. And then 4 hours later, tape runs out in the interview room. So they sat there for 4 hours. This guy listened.
And he says nothing. He's miming.
So in the following days,
playing charades.
Right. Hundreds of searchers combed rural Knox County looking for the bodies. The three hadn't been seen since November 10th, and Hoffman wouldn't talk. On November 16th, he opened up to Special Agent Joe Dietz of the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation, Identification and Investigation, off camera and in a single stall restroom, according to the case.
So he's taking the leak, I guess, talking to this
detective. I guess. Hoffman asked Dietz if he was recording what he said. When the agent said no, Hoffman said he'd had a nightmare the night before. That was his second night in a jail cell where he was on suicide watch. Hoffman dreamed that he was at a food processing plant and he opened a trash bag filled with dismembered body parts. He wanted to tell the detectives what happened. He told the agent, but on his own terms. He would write down the locations of the body for a lawyer. Then Hoffman would escape, and the special agent would shoot and kill him. What a good plan. He's got this shit
all worked out. Actually, I wish they would have took him up on that.
Only after he was dead could the lawyer say where the bodies were. Hoffman wanted to control the release of information. Surprisingly, Dietz would not go along with the plan.
Oh,
and Hoffman later said he made up the story and didn't know where the bodies were. But 2 days later, Hoffman must have decided he wanted to live. So Hoffman pointed detectives to a 60-foot tall, finally, you know, this is after he's...
confessed and everything.
Well, not confessed, but, you know, okay, so this is what we're going to do.
Right.
Like, okay. So anyway, so now he decides...
Suicide, he's still hoping for suicide by cop.
I, you know, who knows. So he points detectives to a 60-foot-tall hollow tree in Kokosing Wildlife Area near Frederickstown. He agreed to dictate a detailed confession to his attorney and to plead guilty to all 10 felony counts that prosecutors would bring against him. Prosecutors took the death penalty off the table, and on January 6th, Hoffman was sentenced to life in prison with no chance of parole.
Yeah, and chances are they would never found the bodies had they not had he not did the plea bargain.
In his confession, Hoffman says he panicked when the woman and children surprised him during a burglary.
Yeah, they surprise when people come into their own house.
I know, crazy.
It's shocking.
He said he wanted to return and burn the house down after he robbed it. Right. Although he coldly recounts gruesome details of the murders, Hoffman seems to have convinced himself that in the 4 days he held the teenage girl in his Columbus Road home, he was a nice guy.
He was a gentleman, I'm sure.
I'm sure. He confessed to the multiple sexual assaults he committed on the girl. Hoffman tells of how he would let her play Wii, how they watched the Iron Man movies, both the first and the second ones.
Oh, okay. So he let her watch both of them.
Both of them. Yeah. And gave her a Wii and gave her a copy of Treasure Island to pass the time.
See, I'm not sure if that's a big deal.
He's a giver.
Yeah.
He's a giver. This fucker's high.
Yeah.
He said he cooked hamburgers for her, probably made of squirrel meat.
Yeah.
And slept with his arm around her.
Loving.
Mm.
How creepy. Creepy.
He appears to believe that he showed her some compassion. He promised her that she would be okay, he said, and that she would be home playing with her family by Christmas. He showed her the definition of ransom in a dictionary and told her he was negotiating with her family. So he's a big fat liar. Yeah. On top of all this, he's a big fat liar.
Yeah. Squirrel eating, tree loving.
Liar.
Yeah.
Off the grid, motherfucking liar. I would not have hurt her. I could not hurt her, he said in the confession, which he dictated to his defense attorney. I planned on giving her more and more freedom until she ran away.
Yeah, I'm sure. It sounds like a plan.
He recounted how he bound her hands and feet with both rope and duct tape when investigators broke through a door of Hoffman's home on November 14th and found the girl. She was alive but bound on a bed made of leaves with blankets in a dark, dank corner of the home's basement. The door to the basement had been barricaded with a sewing cabinet. Police believe Hoffman's ultimate plan was to burn down the home he invaded and eventually his own home with his victim inside. Meanwhile, investigators looking into Hoffman's background found that home invasion and arson were nothing new to Hoffman. He had done as much when he was 19 and living away from home for the first time in Steamboat Springs. Working for a plumbing company at the time, he broke into a condo where he had been working and robbed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Creepo. So what happens next, Colonel? All
right. Well, Timmy, after he was caught, Hoffman told detectives in Colorado that he was obsessed over the fingerprints that he left behind. So he returned, dumped 10 gallons of gasoline at the building, and set the place ablaze.
Yeah, which is basically what he was going to do here in the home in Mount Vernon as well.
Yeah, which the leaves would have helped quite a bit.
Oh, and in his own place, right?
Leaves, I believe they consider them an accelerant, Timmy.
Yes, very correct.
So the 16 people in the arson business, that's what we call them.
That's what you're referring to them as?
Yeah. The 16 people living in the building escaped unharmed, but not before the fire caused $2 million in damage.
Yeah, this is the one in Colorado, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now Hoffman admitted what he'd done and spent 6 years in prison before returning to Ohio for this. Now, that punishment did not dissuade this man from resorting to fire again.
Well, you know, at first you don't succeed.
Well, you can't play with fire, Timmy.
Yeah.
7 years he played with fire. It was the same solution he came up with for the crime scene at Herman's home on King Beach Drive. But alas, Timmy.
Alas.
Alas, his plan was foiled. A deputy spotted Hoffman loitering a constable. Spotted him loitering near Herman's abandoned truck where he had put the cans of gasoline.
Yeah, this guy's not very bright.
Now, the deputy did not know that Hoffman would become a suspect in the triple murder case, but he did ask him what the hell he was doing there. He said he was waiting for his girlfriend to get off work. Now, the deputy said, well, okay, what's your girl's name? Hoffman said, well, I don't know her last name because we just started dating.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You know that feeling, Tim. You don't really know that.
I can relate, actually.
Sometimes you just know their number and what they're
wearing.
Sometimes
you don't even know their name.
Chick in the red shirt.
Yeah, Big boobs.
Yeah, big boob chick in the red shirt. Now, he gave the deputy a first name, the same as the terrified girl he had left bound in his home, shivering on a bed of leaves. Now, that's a horrible thought. The home full of leaves is in foreclosure, according to court records. Wells Fargo Bank initiated the proceedings on January 28th. In his incarceration, Hoffman wrote a four-page confession letter about his crimes and revealed the location of his victims' bodies to police. As mentioned, Hoffman had hidden their remains in the holler of a 65-foot-tall tree. Psychologists would suggest that he had chosen their wooden resting place to bring himself comfort. Now, this tree obsession, they suggested, indicated a severe mental imbalance and delusional thinking, much like the devil has.
Yes, much like Brandy.
It was an imbalance that characterized most of his life. He also made claims that he intended to rob Tina Herman's house. He was happy Sarah was rescued by authorities and treated her nicely. He said he cooked her hamburgers and let her play video games and watch movies, specifically Iron Man and Iron Man 2.
Yeah, he was big on that. He really is big on justifying all of his actions.
If you're going to have somebody abduct you and rape you and do all these terrible things,
At least let me read Treasure Island.
Yeah, I let you watch some movies. What are you complaining about?
Chill on Netflix and chill. Yeah. Jesus.
What the hell's wrong with this son of a bitch? But now here's the worst thing, Timmy. Well, not the worst thing, because obviously he'd done some horrid things. The latter claim proved to be false. He didn't let Sarah watch Iron Man and Iron Man 2.
Bastard. Dick.
Yeah. As for his initial motivation to rob the Herman house, it is disbelieved by Sarah's father, Larry, and it is widely believed that the crimes were mere acts of random violence. Now, he was charged here with three counts that included aggravated murder and rape, and eventually found guilty and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole on January 6, 2011. He had been able to avoid the death penalty by revealing where the bodies of the victims were located. That was his ace. Yeah.
They would never have found it otherwise.
How'd you like that?
Ace in the hollow. But they would never have been able to find the body. So, but it's too bad he got off with just a prison sentence because he's.
When he's a big fat liar, he didn't let her watch Iron Man.
No, I saw her interviewed. She's a brave girl, you know. As I said, she's older now, but she was interviewed, and what a horrific experience to have as a 13-year-old.
Right.
At any age, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
She just wanted to get to school, get out of there and get to school. She had no idea that her mother and brother was killed. Thought maybe her dog was killed. Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Matthew J. Hoffman?
What a freak show.
Yeah, he was.
With the leaves and all that. That's just crazy. And the squirrels.
Popsicles are okay, though.
He was a little bit squirrely.
He was a lot of bit squirrely. Colonel, your final thoughts on Matthew J. Hoffman?
I'm opposed to what he did, Timmy.
You want to go on record that you're opposed to murder and rape?
That I do not think that rape and murder and violating a poor innocent 13-year-old girl like that has any place in our society, and I think that they should dispense the Colonel justice on him.
Yeah, a big branch up the rectum, Colonel.
Well, you'd start with a branch.
I think he might have tried that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he probably did. He probably liked that. Yeah. You know what you do? You get one, and you sharpen it down real good, Timmy, and you ram it right into urethra.
Urethra?
Right in urethra.
Got R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You'd have to get a fluffer to come in and give him a crazy man boner, and then you'd shove that son of a bitch right down in there.
Colonel, you have any shout-outs today?
Do I have any shout-outs, Timmy? You really going to ask me that?
Hey, by the way, whose birthday is it?
It's Aaron Wentz's birthday.
Happy birthday, Aaron.
Yes, ma'am.
Aaron, happy birthday to you. Let me see. Let me get started here with our shout-outs. We got Miss Ophelia.
Ophelia and Tasha out there in California.
Tasha out there, yeah. Callie. Jeff Girdley. Sam Hildebrand. Linda Middleton, your trader.
Hi, Linda.
Missy Dean Horton.
Hey, Missy.
Britt and Chris. Celine, of course. Jeff Chestnut and Dawn. Teresa Slavin. Tommy Boomershine. Shonda and Larry. You know they've been doing a lot of protesting with all the protests.
They like things. Trees.
They like any protest they got going on, Shonda and Larry, you can count on.
They
was giving instructions on
that. They tie themselves to a tree at the in the podcast Murders episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. They tied themselves to railroad tracks, all kinds of things. Yeah. They'll do anything crazy, Timmy. But they're very socially active people. And
they make
many
a great
people
couple.
Like that.
Yeah.
They you know what? It, you get a kick out of them because the other night, I'm looking at my Facebook feed, and she's allergic to has a lot of food allergies,
right.
And was craving a hamburger. Did you see that?
I did. It was
and
very
he just
sweet.
Whipped her together a hamburger that didn't have weed or whatever she's allergic
right.
to. I don't know.
Squirrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Larry's a nice guy, and they make a great couple.
So that was very. You're a sweet guy, Larry. So anyway, Colton, how you doing, Phyllis? Our birthday girl, Aaron Wentz. Our beautiful friend Donna Curran, we hope you're doing well. Brian and Lisa Lawton, Olivia Meyer, Kate with the C. McCarthy, Bridget Clavey. Bridget's a character.
I like Bridget. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Byron Snellings, Denny Black Eye McNamara.
Hey, Denny, this is your episode, buddy.
Denny took the suggestion. Yeah, thanks for the suggestion, Denny. William Truax, Amber Krupp, Gina Spillane, Trixie, Stephanie Quick, Sydney and Michael, Jamie, the lovely, lovely, lovely Jamie Tarantino. I got someone I'm gonna be bringing in into this week, Timmy. And I can say this out
She's
loud.
She's a very talented
because
artist. Did you get it?
I did not get it yet. She just started on it, but she's my wife loves Union Terminal, Mrs. Colonel.
That's a old train station here in Cincinnati.
And, you know, I feel kind of rich, Timmy, because you know what I did?
What?
I commissioned Jamie to draw it.
Nice.
Yeah. So she's going to have that drawing to me. She said
she's very talented.
So thank you, Jamie. I appreciate that. Let's see. You got Laura O'Reilly, Gabby Lewis, John Cunningham, Tara Bond.
Jean Bond.
Lydia. Brandy McBride, we hope you're feeling better. She had the flu. We hope you're doing well.
Get better, Brandy.
Yeah.
Maggie Glover, and it's not like she had a man cold. She had the flu. But Maggie Glover, Jeff Appel, and Christine.
Bourgeois.
And all I want for Christmas is Katie.
Moorhead.
There we go. Mary Ray. One of our most devoted followers.
Love Mary Ray. She's a big supporter of the podcast, and we really appreciate
she
it,
is.
Mary.
Marvin, of course, Hammond, Andy Volley, Cheryl Musco, Keith Frusty, Becky Mitchell, Steve Miller, Nick Starr and Molly Erickson, Natasha Davis, Neil Eagleton, Stewie Benton, Maja Zanalko. I think I got that right. Ali Nett, Christine Howell, Leah Pangburn, Natalie Parsons, Lauren Feller, Todd Long, Diane Student from History Goes Bump.
Hey, Diane.
Allison Shields, Aaron Fowler, Carlene Madsen, Robin Sanchez, TJ Youngblood, Thomas Toohey, Dave Hill and John Gray, Don Gordon, Kristen Davidson, Susan Angles, Little Emmy Waterfall, Christian Dormer, Danielle Fredrickson, Amber Anderson, Peter Fulmer, Ron Rotsky, Kelsey Froh, George Hochler, Alan Dobbs, lovely Tyra Jenkins, Amy Carol Payne, crazy ass Jason Dykes, Sammy James, Joel Handler, Eddie Rushing, Sonyana, Lindsay O'Brien McMillan. Tara Chinchilla, Jennifer Hawkins, Kim Kazmersky, Nancy Palomino Jalapeno, Toby Deese, Andy Sparaccio, Danielle Fredrickson, Mike Eisenhower, Rebecca Montanle, lovely Annette Petre, Steph Glenn, Christina Hodges, Christina Montana, did we get her? Maria Barber, Jennifer Potts, Sydney Overstreet Hamilton, Paul Mampilli, Mike Arnold, Melissa Lebrano, Brittany Powell, our two Heathers, Heather Hall, Heather Poole, and actually our third Heather, Heather Marshall, Terry Helmsley, Terry Helm.
Hey, Terry.
No, it's Hemsley. Hemsley, I'm sorry. Carol Nash, Kevin Behan, Lise.
Hey, Elise.
Mike Tabor, John Janke, Jeff Hopkins, of course. And Daza. Let's see who we got here. Maddie Kennan, Amelia Roscoe, Michael Daniel, Jen Moyer, Jessica Bishop, Liz Evans, Brenda Deutsch, Stacy Lynn, Jeff Buchwald, or Jeff Dolan, Marion Buchwald, Jennifer Miller, Susanna Sheldon, Ramoni Danger Howard, Skip Fayou, Callie Jones, Brandy D, Sandy Smizer, Don Hamer, Norma DiMaggio, Karen Alden, Angie L, Amber Trevino, Carla Nelson White, Jessica Winchester, Anita Darden, Nancy Weller, Christine Andreasen, Kristen, Valerie Murray, Tammy Ennis, Mike Rosen, of course, Leah McAllister, Stephanie Pauling, Lauren Meredith. We got some new ones here this week, Timmy. Well, we got Deb Chappelle. She's not a new one, but...
Hey, Deborah.
Danielle Jones.
Yeah, from the Between Us Girls podcast.
Yep. Brittany Martin. Margot Donahue. Jamie Metcalf, Meg Vansell, Allison Schneider, Sarah Taylor, Neaton Sill, Amber Anderson, I think I got her, Rachel Hummel, she's a new one, Rachel Hummel. Welcome, these are all new people I'm going to give you here, Timmy, Lauren Marer, Molly Fontenot, Sham DeBoard, Melissa Montoya, Stacy Gutierrez, Tim Hale, Donnie Young, Melanie Young, James Rion, Cricket Hoffman, Jessica Furby. And then let's get down to the in the lovely and beautiful, who, Timmy? Who ain't hit yet? Katya.
Katya, the lovely Katya, yes.
And then we got the Colonel Squad, Angie Ball, as she said today. Hopefully we got the sound fix for you here, Angie. We got our, this is, you won't get this unless your friends with her on Facebook, but the hot white trash bag lady, Jim Wicks.
Huh?
She goes to library book sales and carries these big bags with her.
Okay. Hi, so, Jen.
Liz Keating, our mascot Fallon, Radhika Smith, Angela Cobb, Scotty J, Monica D'Agostino, Tiffany Shannon, Amanda Bocce Ball, Jess Williams, who we always like to say hi to, a lovely Irish lass, Frances Darton, Janet Fitzgerald, Karen Barnes, pretty Jennifer Burdick, Sarah Mimosa, and our big three, Nicola, Allie, and Charlie. Allie and Charlie from the Insight.
Insight podcast.
Yeah, Nicola from Nicola Reed.
Attorney that's at law.
Nicola Reed. That's all I really need to say about her.
We have a lot of attorneys on our page.
And, of course, our Lady Beverly.
Lovely Lady Beverly.
Hope you're doing well. And Dottie Scott.
Hi, Mom. Hope it's all as well
with
you,
we do this for.
Brandy, where can people find us?
You can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have two pages. We have the History Dweeb page where we post a lot of history-related stuff. But our Facebook group is History Dweebs the Podcast. So join us there. That's all the folks we're shouting, giving shout-outs to their members as History Dweebs the Podcast. So join us.
You can find us on iTunes.
iTunes, please leave us a review if you get a chance.
You can find us on Twitter.
Yeah, we're at History Dweebs 1, or you can follow the Colonel at Hawk Walters.
And you can find us on Stitcher and Libsyn and...
Yeah, at a podcast app near you.
Yes.
All right, let's get out of here. Any final thoughts, guys?
No, I'm going to go...
Get your balls under control.
I got a job, got a part-time job. Apparently, I'm going to be driving for Uber, Timmy.
Okay, thank you, Colonel. We'll learn about that next time. I don't know. I'm not even going to go there. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you again next time on History Dweebs.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.